Hello guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, all on the family. But God began to deal with us, we realized something. We're reaching thousands with our seminars, but we can reach millions with our radio program. We're having some great feedback, so we want to encourage today. If this program has helped you in any way, if you've got something out of it, give us a call. Drop us a line, send us a note, email us, and let us know how it's helped you. God told us years ago that we would be doing this in the last days and said our ministry would restore hope in the lives of families through the knowledge of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that changes people, puts hope back in you, man. God can do all kinds of great things. Part the Red Sea and raise the dead. He can save a marriage. He can save a family. He can help you with your parenting, help you with your money. It is the Word of God. So this program is just based on that alone. It's restoring hope in the lives of families through the knowledge of the Word of God. Give us a line and let us know how it's helped you.
You're listening to Joe McGee.
America ranks number one in the world in the number of fatherless homes. There are more runaway dads in the United States than Bangladesh, India, China, Russia, or any place else you want to pick. What happened? Well, we raised a lot of adolescents. We didn't raise any adults. So the adults become responsible when they get older. You got to learn about responsibility. You know, as long as you're looking good and smelling good, we'll play kissy face. You don't look so good, I'm out of here. And that's what's going on in the world today. And that's why moms sometimes have a hard time doing their job. If men don't do their job, women can't do their job. You know, God made all men to be lunch chasers. All men are lunch chasers. They're hunters by nature. That's why you walk into a house and the man, not the woman, say, hey, I shot that, killed that, beat that to death, ran that over. I don't have very few women to point out dead heads on the wall. Because God designed women to be nurturers. They're nest defenders. They're not lunch chasers.
You are listening to Joe McGee. He'll be right back with more of today's message. But first, we'd like to tell you about this month's life-changing offer for your family. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. This set includes three audio messages that are thought-provoking and funny, a couple of prayer reminders, and 31 teaching cards to help you and your kids build a strong marriage and family. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Your support goes to help grow the outreach of Joe McGee Ministries. Joe uses a laugh and learn approach that removes barriers and provides a refreshing point of view and a new hope for your marriage and family. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe.
You know, for the last 24 years, we've been traveling all over America teaching on the family. I always believed when I was working as an engineer in the electrical industry years ago that one day God would use us. You know, having six kids, you know, some people think, well, you sure have a lot of kids. Well, we liked them. We really did. You know, we came from families of 12. My dad had 12 brothers and sisters, and my father-in-law had 12 brothers and sisters. So big families are just fun. It was what we did for entertainment. You know, if you have fun, find a family member. You want to start a fight, find a family member. It was just what we did. So my wife and I got married. We thought we'd like to have a big family. So we went with half, with six. And so I tell people having six kids won't make you holy or famous. Might make you insane and broke if you don't know what to do when they show up. But God is into the family. It's the first thing he made. And if you read in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, it's the first thing he lost. When Adam and Eve sinned, they got fired from their job, evicted from the house, and their kids started killing each other. But God had a plan for the family. He had a plan through his son coming to earth. And so all of a sudden, once we had the silent night, holy night, we through kings and more in our story, we now have hope. God is rebuilding the family. You know, there's a passage in Isaiah 61, God said he would revive, repair, restore, rebuild the family. And so that's what we do. We hold seminars, about 80 seminars all over the country, teaching on marriage, parenting, men, money, anything to do in the home. Because, man, the pressure has picked up. You know, I remember when I got out of high school, gasoline was 25 cents a gallon. We could rent a house for $55 a month. I mean, things got expensive. Things changed. And boy, the pressure's built up. Now almost every family's got having to have two incomes to make it. And we got a lot of single-parent families today. But God has not lost us. He said, in the last days, he would pour out his spirit on all flesh. The man, things are going to happen in our families. And I believe it's happening right now. But it happens through the knowledge of his word. So what we do is we teach. And we call this a laugh and learn experience. People come out and we have seminars on, again, every area of the home. You know, whether it's your financial life or your married life. You know, we used to kid and say, you know, marriage is nothing more than two ignorant people growing up together. It's just a fun time. Kids, You know, once you have them, you can't take them back. It's not like you buy something at Walmart, you can go return it. They're going to be with us forever. And God knew that. He said to train them up and to teach them. So what we found out, there is a method, believe it or not, to having a great family. It said in 1 Peter 3 that you and I all have the kind of family that makes somebody else jealous. Listen, guys, there's no perfect families. I don't have a perfect family. Got a good one. The Bible says the righteous fall seven times a day and they get back up. We're not the perfect people. We're the getting back up people. We learn how to repent quick, forgive quick, and get back up. God promised us that He'd satisfy us with a lot of things. With long life will I satisfy you, show you my salvation. Length of days will be in your hand. Riches and honor will be in the other. God's promised some great stuff. Well, why don't we see it? Well, because we live on an alien planet. Satan is the legal god of this planet. He got it when he stole it from Adam and Eve in the garden. The thing is, we don't belong to him anymore. If you're a born-again believer, I belong to the kingdom of God. I've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness. Thing is, if you don't know that, the devil's a liar. He'll mess with you. So what we do seminars in our Faith for Families ministry on marriage, parenting, and men. We got a great publishing company, Stoneblood Publishing, putting out printed material that puts hope back in the lives of people, tells you how to live life according to the Word of God and be a success. And then, of course, now we have Fighting for Families Radio, where we're going to try to cover America with hope, because that's what we need. Hope deferred, the Bible says, makes the heart sick. And that's what people are lacking. So we go in and we have open sessions. We'll start off usually with the first session about what the problem was. You know, in our first session on marriage, we talk about the differences in men and women. When I married my wife, I thought, my goodness, I've married somebody just like me. Man, we like the same food, the same John Wayne movies. We like the same everything, the same movies. It didn't take about 3 months in our marriage. We realized, oh my goodness, I've married my absolute total opposite. We couldn't agree on anything. And man, all of a sudden, 3 years in our marriage, we're ready for a divorce. I hated her guts and she hated mine. And what happened? Well, we married the wrong person. I either married too early or too late or something. And I realized, no, according to the Word of God, I married my exact opposite. Nobody explained that to me when I got married. You know, when God made the creation, everything He made was good. Everything was good. Good, 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 very good. The first time God said not good, He was looking at a man. He's looking at Adam. And all of a sudden, Adam said, what did you say? God said, not good. Adam said, what's not good? You. What's not good? He said, you're alone. I'm going to make you a helper. So God made a woman. Now, I don't know if you know this or not. When God made a woman, He made something better. You know, the average woman's got a higher IQ. She's got a better immune system. She has a bigger vocabulary. She's got better manual dexterity. When God made a woman to help man, He made something better. When He looked at Adam and said, you need help, He didn't make another Adam. Now I've got two doofuses to deal with. He actually made a helper. And so what we learned today is that when you get married, you married your opposite by divine appointment and as a gift from God. God gave us everything we didn't have. My wife's smart where I'm not smart, talented where I'm not talented. I'm smart where she's not smart. I'm talented where she's not talented. That's why the Bible says two are better than one. Now, we didn't know that. We thought, well, we never get along. We never get along. That's because you never see the problem with the same viewpoint. You know, when we got married, we realized something. Denise and I, we just never agreed on anything. And it wasn't until we got in the Word of God, we realized, oh, this is how God set it up. Two are better than one. If any two shall get in agreement on anything, it'll be done of our Father which is in heaven. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. We realized the power of two. Not because we saw the problem the same, but because we saw it different. You know, the Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Why? Because you agree? No. I see something you don't see. I heard something you don't hear. If we two can get together, we're going to become a problem-solving machine. That's what a marriage is. A marriage is a problem-solving machine. Then God said children were His reward. I remember sitting in a class one time when I heard that scripture. Children are a reward from the Lord. I thought, man, that's the worst thing I ever heard. There's no way that can be true. We've got six of them. I don't see a rewarding thing about it. Man, they were costing us money before they ever came out of the womb. And then once they came out of the womb, they cost more money. Man, they're tearing stuff up, flushing stuff they shouldn't, not flushing stuff they should, trying to get into the past algebra and diagram a sentence. Like, when are you going to leave home? And God said, no, I'm going to give them to you, and I'm going to let you train them up. Then eventually you're going to give them back to me, and I'm going to do something great with them. It's a great honor to parent. It's a privilege to parent. It's work to parent. But God's told us how to do it throughout the Word of God. He tells us how to teach and to train. He said, our children, Psalms 112, verse 1 through 3, will bring great honor to our name. Great honor. Not embarrassed. You ever been embarrassed as a parent? I have. Like, what happened? My God, what's wrong with them? Well, I remember my wife told me one time, I says, what's wrong with our kids? And my wife said, go look in the mirror. They're just like you, Joe. And I realized something. Like kind reproduces like kind. As a parent, I don't need my kids to grow up. I needed to grow up. And that's why the local church is the most powerful thing on this planet. It's in the local church that iron strikes iron. It's in a local church where you sit under a pastor and you learn the Word of God. It's in a local church, you fellowship with other saints. You get to be a blessing and help people as much as you get help. And that's where you start growing in the grace and knowledge. You know, when I got married, I wasn't perfect. My wife wasn't perfect. We're still not there. We've been married 44 years. We're still growing. I still get to know her every day. She gets to know me. But man, what an adventure. Second greatest thing next to salvation is finding a spouse. It is a great blessing. I love growing older with my spouse. I love my kids. Now that they're adults and out of the house, I love fellowship with my kids. We still don't agree on everything, but we're all growing in God. And I'm telling you, it's a great thing God's doing. So what we're doing here at Faith for Families and Fighting for Families Radio, building families, putting them back together, giving them the tools they need to have a happy, successful, prosperous, long marriage and long life. And God's going to do it through His Word. He really is.
Today, Joe brings you a message that will have you rolling with laughter and thinking about how God designed us to be relational from the very beginning of life. Start today to fight and overcome the tough challenges of marriage. But before we get into today's message, I want to let you know about this month's great radio offer. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to fight to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes 3 audio discs, messages that will guide you on building a better marriage, 2 cards designed to help remind you each day to pray for your spouse, and you'll also get a set of 31 Telling Your Children the Truth scripture cards. All 3 of these powerful items are designed to help you discover how you can build a strong family with joy, love, and the truth of God's Word. To get your Marriage Building 101 Essential Set, simply call us toll-free 1-800-482-5862. That number again is 1-800-482-5862. Be sure to tell the operator that you want the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe with today's biblical message on why it's not good to be alone.
Because mamas want the best for her kids. That's why 3 John 4 says this, it gives me no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Mamas think different than daddies. You know, daddies want to think temporary. You know, God tricks us into marriage. You find somebody you like, you look good, I like you, you like me, let's play kissy face. And our lips are a perfect match, so let's get married. And you get married, then you're playing a lot of kissy face. You're just kissing and sucking the lips off each other's face and for days on end because it's legal and you just feel so good about it. But then your lips get raw, because you can't kiss forever. Your lips will get raw. Yeah, really, I've done it. Like, not now. I can't. My pucker's gone. And when you stop kissing, you start talking. And that's not good. Because now you realize, I don't like you. I don't like you. And you just like your mom and you just like your daddy. And you better shut up. Yeah, and then God just tricks us in there, and now we're stuck. We're married. We got to figure out how to make this work. That's why you need to know Jesus. You can't be married without Jesus. It's too hard. You need Jesus, the Son of God, and the same Spirit that raised Him from the dead to stay married. Seriously. God never intended to be people married that didn't know Him. That'll you create hell on earth itself. You will. And I used to take my seniors to divorce court when I was a school administrator. Once a year, we go to divorce court on a Friday morning, load up the bus, going on a field trip. Where are you going? Divorce court. Need your parents' permission. And because divorce court's the closest thing to hell you'll ever see on this planet. And we'd drive them down to half a day of divorce court. And I said, listen, guys, you're going to hear cussing and hollering and perversion and nasty and weird and strange things this morning. And you're going to hear from 2 people that swore their love to one another at one time. And I love you forever. At least for a year or 2. Because you get to know one another. You don't know how to solve problems. You don't know how to blend together. You don't know how to survive. You don't know how to problem solve. And also, boy, it gets nasty. And you throw some children in the middle of that mix because people think, well, if we can just have some children, it'll make us closer. That's a lie of the devil. It will not. Children will complicate your marriage, not complement it. My buddy up in New York that's single, he says, if you cannot handle being single, you'll never handle being married. And that's the truth. You need greater grace to be married than you do to be single. Then you drop some babies into that, and you're going to have algebraic equations to deal with. Because daddies get mad after babies show up. Mama loves him, nurtures him, rubs his back, plays kissy face, fixes his favorite meal, and then a baby comes. And daddy, you don't know who, what daddy, what. Dad's over in the corner like, hey. Mama's feeding the baby, nurturing the baby, burping the baby, talking to the baby, wooing the baby, touching the baby. And dad, what? What? What do you need? Shut up. I'm taking care of the baby. And that's why men get mad when children show up. And they yell at them. Shut up. They get mad. I go, why? Mama's not giving me any more attention. There's an old saying about children. If you listen to children long enough, children will tell you this. Daddies do what they want to do. Mamas do what they have to do. Come home from work on Monday. Daddies get to eat dinner. Sit down, watch Monday Night Football, drink 3 iced teas, take a nap. Mama's got to clean up the kitchen, put the food away, help the kids with the altar, pack the lunches for the next day, get the clothes ready. By the time she gets there, Daddy's doing fine. He's in there taking a nap. By 11 o'clock, Mama finally plops down on the couch, tired, greasy, and wore out. Wakes Daddy up. He's feeling good. He'll wake up and look over at Mama. He's had his belly full, iced tea, favorite team won. He'll look at his wife. He'll wink at her. He'll say something incredibly stupid like, you want to do it? She'll say, I don't want to do it. I'll beat your head in with a ball bat. Shut up. Don't touch me. I'm tired and greasy. Get away from me. My wife taught me a long time ago. She said, if you want me playing kissy face at 11, you better be in the kitchen with an apron on at 7. And I have my own apron. I do. Because I like playing kissy face at 11. Yes, I do. That's another sermon. Anyhow. Mothers know about sacrifice. John chapter 10, verse 10 says this. We know this scripture. The thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I've come to give you a rich and satisfying life, it says in the New Living Translation. Satisfying. Listen, God knows we have opposition. We've got the world system that doesn't like us. We're not going that direction. We've got the devil that'll kill us if he gets half a chance. We've got our own flesh that doesn't want to do anything right. But even in the middle of all that opposition, God said, I want you to have a satisfied life, know how to overcome, to be more than conquerors, know how to trust me and believe me. You should be satisfied with your life. When Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father, he was satisfied. I did everything I needed to do to fix this problem. When Paul got ready to go home, I finished, ran my race, I finished my course, I'm satisfied. But you know, some people aren't satisfied. You ever bought something and got home with it and you weren't satisfied? I'm like, man, I'm not satisfied with this. That was a bum deal. You ever got married and you weren't satisfied? That'll mess your mind up. Now what do I do? I'm stuck. I've married this person. What am I going to do? Well, you're going to have to grow up. And nobody told you that when they were throwing rice and eating cake and bringing you gifts. That's why they say take a lot of pictures at the wedding because it goes downhill from there. Yeah, because, you know, you wake up 3 years later, maybe 3 weeks later. I don't know. Mama's got the morning breath of a water buffalo. Your hair's grown out of your ears, stuff off the top of your head. You don't look like you do when you said I do. And you're talking at one another, and it's ugly. You're not whispering sweet nothings. Why? Because we got problems now. There were no problems when we were dating. What kind of problem do you have? I don't know. What do you want on your pizza? I don't know. What movie should we see tonight? I don't know. Well, let's decide. You get married, and those conversations take a nosedive. Dive, dive. It goes deep. Now we got stuff not working. We got other things. We got people and children, and stuff's tearing up. All that new stuff when we got married, the transmission's leaking. The dryer door won't stay shut if you don't put duct tape on it. Bed looks like a camel died in the middle of it. Curtains are sagging, carpet's nasty. You don't look so good. That's where real love has to kick in. I don't know if you know it or not, but 1 out of every 2 children born in America will spend some time in a single parent home. 1 out of 3 children in America will not finish high school. They will not graduate from 12th grade. 1 out of 3 children in America will be born to unwed parents. They're not even committed to one another yet. They've got a baby they're going to have to raise. 1 out of 4 is born to a teenage mother. 1 out of 5 lives in poor health. 1 out of 6 lives under the poverty level. America ranks number 1 in the world in the number of fatherless homes. There are more runaway dads in the United States than Bangladesh, India, China, Russia, or any place else you want to pick. What happened? Well, we raised a lot of adolescents. We didn't raise any adults. Because adults become responsible when they get older. You got to learn about responsibility. You know, as long as you're looking good and smelling good, we'll play kissy face. You don't look so good, I'm out of here. And that's what's going on in the world today. And that's why moms sometimes have a hard time doing their job. If men don't do their job, women can't do their job. You know, God made all men to be lunch chasers. All men are lunch chasers. They're hunters by nature. That's why you walk into a house and the man, not the woman, say, hey, I shot that, killed that, beat that to death, ran that over. I don't have very few women to point out dead heads on the wall. Because God designed women to be nurturers. They're nest defenders. They're not lunch chasers. Caveman leaves in the morning, goes out in the jungle, spends all day beating some mastodon to death. Cave woman doesn't go. She stays by the cave, keeps cave clean, plays with cave kids, change cave kid diapers, visit with other cave women, build cave fire.
Caveman comes home. It's a good political situation, by the way. Caveman comes home with that mastodon late in the evening, drops it next to that fire, looks at that cave woman. He'll grunt at her. He'll, and that's cave tougher. Skin this thing and barbecue. And she'll look at him and she'll go, oh, that means okay. He'll plop down and stare in the fire because men love fires. You build a fire, men go deaf and dumb around a fire because they're thinking. We don't have fires anymore. We got TV sets that work just as good. You come home from chasing lunch and turn that fire on. He's not watching. If you think he's watching, hand him the remote. He'll immediately start to hunt. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom. He's wanting to hunt for a better program. He doesn't want to establish a relationship with one. But the cave woman will get up, get the cave blanket around him, get his little cave belly full. She'll take care of the mastodon, the kids. She'll do everything else. Cave woman's smart enough not to keep the caveman up to 2 a.m. analyzing their cave relationship. Because come sun up, he's got to go do the same thing again tomorrow. Most parts of the world, relationships are easy. Life may be hard, relationships are easy. Men appreciate the women. Women appreciate the men. One thing I've learned about life, even in this modern age, is my wife does what she has to do. She does. And she's told that as we've gone through life. And I've had to grow up. Nobody told me that when we were saying I do, that you're going to have to grow up. I know this is fun and pretty, kissy-kissy, but you're going to have to grow up because responsibility is coming. And it's an adventure to live life and be responsible. But mamas understand sacrifice because Jesus said this in John 10:10, I want you to have a rich and satisfying life. Well, how do I get that life? And he explains it. He said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. He lays his life on the line. He said, a hireling, when trouble comes, a hireling will run away. He won't protect the sheep, for he's only doing what he's doing for the money. In other words, he's only doing what he's doing for what he can get out of it. If you take a job for only what you can get out of it, not what you can give, you will hate your job eventually. You get married for only what you can get out of it, not what you can give. You will hate your marriage eventually. You have children for what you think they can do for you instead of what you're going to do for them. You will hate them. God designed humans for one thing, service. We were designed to serve. Jesus said, you want to be great in my kingdom? Become a servant of all. And I've never seen anybody serve like a mama will.
Joe's going to be back in just a moment with a tool to help you build a God-based, stronger marriage. But before we get to today's final thought and take home, I wanted to let you know about this month's great radio offer. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to fight to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes 3 audio discs, messages that will guide you on building a better marriage, 2 cards designed to help remind you each day to pray for your spouse, and you'll also get a set of 31 Telling Your Children the Truth scripture cards. All 3 of these powerful items are designed to help you fight for your own family, to discover how you can build a strong family with joy, love, and the truth of God's Word. To get your Marriage Building 101 Essential Set, simply call us toll-free 1-800-482-5862. That number again is 1-800-482-5862. Be sure to tell the operator that you want the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe with a tool for you to use in your marriage.
You know, one of the questions we used to get asked all the time is about, how do you pray for your kids, you and your wife? How do you do that? I said, well, we didn't do it for a long time. We're just trying to raise them. You know how it is when you have babies. We had 6, man. You're just trying to make sure they're fed, clothed, bathed, brush their teeth, passed an algebra. And then if there was a problem, we'd just yell about it because I had one opinion, she'd have another opinion. And so the kids would pick that up. What are you doing? Fighting over. They need to do this. No, they need to do this. They don't have to do that. Sure, they have to do that. And so we realized what is going on. And of course, we're sitting in church and, you know, we're in Sunday school and we're hearing the Word of God about, you know, you have not because you ask not. Ask that your joy might be made full. We just never applied it to parenting. Also, we realized one time, why are we having such a problem? Because we don't have God involved. It's my flesh and your flesh, and man, we're just striking iron and it's not going anywhere. So I said, you can't wait to a holy moment. You can't wait until you're all happy, you know, and you're all bathed and clean and the house is clean, the bills are paid, and everybody's smiling. You got to pray sometimes when hell's running up under your armpits. You don't have to light a candle, shave your head, suck rug, or hum a hymn. You just need to pray. You don't even need to close your eyes. You know, the Bible says you can watch and pray. So I finally got in the habit where I just grabbed my wife's hand and said, come here, we're going to pray. What is it? Right now, just come on. Father, we thank you for Sarah. We thank you for Jessica or Corey. Lord, they're needing this, and I thank you we're going to surround them with a shield of divine favor, and you're going to give them the mind of Christ and the wisdom of God. Father, they're going to have wisdom of pricking out their friends. They're not going to hang around bad people. They're going to hang around good people. Father, we're going to teach them how to be a friend. In Jesus' name, amen. And we just prayed maybe a 30-second prayer. Maybe it wasn't that long, but we wouldn't wait for a holy moment. And sometimes the kids would hear it. So come here, we're going to pray for you right now. So lay hands and Father, bless them. Give them divine favor. Lord, help them get through this science fair project. You said you give us witty inventions of the Holy Ghost. Give them a creative idea. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go get busy. And it wasn't something where you just spend a long time. You don't have to get holy. God's already made us holy. You just need to pray. God said all this, listen, 8 times through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus repeatedly said, you have not because you ask not. So when we started praying, it was really out of sheer desperation. What are we going to do? We need God because we're not doing so good. And the minute we got God involved, it was amazing how things started to work out. Now listen, guys, tests and trials come to everybody. Prayer doesn't keep you hell from coming at you. It gets you through hell. It comes out the other side, makes you a victor. You become an overcomer, you know, because God helps. God listens when we pray. We just need to pray more often. God bless.
Thanks so much, Joe. If you like what you heard today, call now and become a partner with a gift of $35 or more. Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes 3 audio messages that are thought-provoking and funny, a couple of prayer reminders, and 31 teaching cards to help you ultimately build a strong marriage and family. Call now 1-800-482-5862. That's 1-800-482-5862. You can also write Joe at P.O. Box 691-498, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74169. We're excited to hear about all the great things God is going to do in your life as you apply these principles. Join us when Joe continues this Laugh and Learn series on how you need the right tools to build a successful marriage. It's never too late to change your marriage.
Hello, guys. This is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, all on the family. When God began to deal with us, we realized something. We're reaching thousands with our seminars, but we can reach millions with our radio program. We're having some great feedback. So we want to encourage today, if this program has helped you in any way, if you've got something out of it, give us a call. Drop us a line. Send us a note, email us, and let us know how it's helped you. God told us years ago that we would be doing this in the last days and said our ministry would restore hope in the lives of families through the knowledge of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that changes people, puts hope back in you, man. God can do all kinds of great things. Part the Red Sea and raise the dead. He can save a marriage. He can save a family. He can help you with your parenting, help you with your money. It is the Word of God. So this program is just based on that alone. It's restoring hope in the lives of families through the knowledge of the Word of God. Give us a line and let us know how it's helped you.